The History Man with Terry Kringle.
Hello. I don't know how many young men in the Isle of Man were called up for what was known as national service between 1948 and a year or so after 1960. It was a continuation of the conscription of men for service during the Second World War. It was decided by the British government that even in peacetime the country needed to have this supplement to the regular armed services, the Army, the Navy, and the Royal Air Force. Young men were called up for national service on reaching the age of 18, but deferment of up to 3 years was allowed in the case of those who might need it, for instance while completing courses at university. Many thousands of 18-year-olds were called up in Britain, but I can tell you only that many hundreds were from the Isle of Man. As far as I know, there's no precise official figure available, and if there is one, I'd be very happy to know what it is. National service was set up first by Act of the Imperial Parliament and later extended to the Isle of Man with the approval of Tynwald. It applied to all healthy young men who were not registered as conscientious objectors or who sought to be recognised as such. I was called up for national service shortly after my 18th birthday on January the 3rd, 1948, which was the year I started work as a trainee reporter on the Isle of Man Examiner. But this is not going to be all about me personally. It's going to be about what the experiences most of us had. For instance, our medical examinations to see if we were fit for service. These were carried out in a huge limestone building in Westmoreland Road, next to a children's playground. It is now the Isle of Man School Service Children's Library. In 1949, I was in there with a lot of other young men of my age, and it was not a comfortable experience for some of us in many ways. For instance, there were young men who, used to life in families with more modest habits, who were not used to being naked in the company of others. They were certainly not used to doctors handling their genitals and asking them to cough. In my case, the doctor handling mine turned to his assistant making notes and said briefly, "Underdeveloped." Yes, at 18 we were not fully developed in many ways. In 1969, Leslie Thomas wrote a comic novel about doing his national service in the Army. It was called The Virgin Soldiers. Yes, back then many of us were virgins at 18. I was. After being found medically fit for service, the next thing for Manx recruits was going away on the boat for basic training. I was in a small group which left on the Russian castle in 1949, my job at the Examiner having been put on hold. We were told that we would find our job still waiting for us when we returned to civilian life. I'm still in touch with some of my group of other old men. We were destined for the RAF, which meant a training camp at Padgate near Warrington. First, there was a week's induction process in which we abandoned our civilian clothes and were fitted out with uniforms and equipment. The personal belongings we'd brought with us were sent back to our homes. We were being separated from our old lives. There were also more medical tests and long queues for all sorts of injections for things to keep us fit. Induction week over, we were handed over to fearsome drill instructors. This was for what had always been called square bashing. Marching, drilling, throwing a rifle around smartly for parades. There was also an assault course and bayonet drill. The rifles were short Lee Enfield .303 models, dating back to the First World War. Bayonet drill meant screaming in anger while thrusting our bayonets into bags of straw hanging from a frame. After that, the rifle range, firing live ammunition. And after that, well, quite a lot. So this will be continued in The History Man next week.